Good morning, everyone. We this morning are in Leviticus 26, and I think this is a very interesting, challenging, good to know piece of scripture. And let's take it in. So we are nearing the end of the book of Leviticus, and we have what's now called blessings of obedience and the penalties of disobedience. This kind of thought is carried over and brought up again in another book of the law called Deuteronomy, Deuto, meaning second reading of the law. So they're going to get it now. Moses is receiving this now in the desert. But later on, when they're about to, after they're to leave the desert and enter the promised land where they're headed, they're going to get a succinct reminder of this. I believe it's in, Deuteronomy chapter, it's either 28 or 30. Deuteronomy 28, the whole chapter is very similar, not exact, to this one. And basically, Israel is going to be blessed by God if they honor the Lord, if they honor the law, if they honor faith in God and they live for Him. But if they don't, if they're disobedient to what they're taught, they're going to be cursed and they're going to receive great penalty for their disobedience. However, in the end, God still will not forget His covenant and He will remember them. But there are consequences for disobedience. We live in a day and age today where one of the great things that's lacking is a fear of God and even a fear of hell. There were great preachers that have come before in years gone by where they would preach a lot of fire and brimstone and realize that, listen, repent and believe in Jesus or burn forever in hell. And today, that kind of preaching has fallen to the wayside quite a bit. And part of the reason for the preaching that exists today, where it's just like God loves your socks off all the time, and there's like you could barely do anything wrong because He's just going to forgive you forever. And, you know, we have a coin of God that is a fullness. It's got two sides. And for the most part, only one side of God is preached. And, you know, this God is the same God. Jesus is a part of the triune God today. And He did usher in, hallelujah, a great day of grace. And He did die to forgive us on the cross. But you need to believe in Him. And, you know, your faith really is shown by how you live your life. And you're not saved by your works, but when you truly believe, you will want to live for God. And we have too much willy-nilly, too much easy believism. We have too much thinking that we can just say we believe and live any old way we want, and we don't have enough fear of God. And one of the reasons is because people don't know their Bible. You know, if you just grow up listening to cherry-picked sermons of cherry-picked verses your entire life, you won't really know the fullness of who God is. So today, you're going to see part of that fullness of who God is. And sometimes when people finally find out that, they're not sure they like, you know, to see the fullness. They don't really want to hear it. And sometimes people wonder, well, why does Pastor Jay talk like that? Or why does he say things? Or why does he believe the way? Because I know the whole Bible. That's why. And because I've been reading it for 20 some years, the whole entire Bible, the whole counsel over and over again. So you get a more complete view of who God is. And if you don't know the whole Bible, you have a very slanted view of the fullness of God. And unfortunately, you miss out because you don't receive the calling to follow God like you could if you knew the fullness of God. You lose out on the fear of God because you don't see the fullness of God. And we're motivated, people, by both God's favor and blessing and His love, but we're also motivated by not receiving the consequences of falling away from the living God. you know, it is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of God when you have turned away from him. So here we go. You shall not make for yourselves idols, nor shall you set up for yourselves an image of a sacred pillar, nor shall you place a figured stone in your land to bow down to it. For I am the Lord your God. Listen, you can't bow down to anything else but the triune God as revealed through Jesus Christ. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. And now we need to revere the Lord and realize that his sanctuary is inside of us. You know, we do need to put a New Testament lens on this to understand what he means by the Sabbath and what he means today. But clearly, we are to revere God and not, you know, lust after and follow after any other God. I am the Lord, he says. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments so as to carry them out, then I shall give you the rains in their season so that the land will yield its produce and the trees of the field will bear their fruit. Now, listen to this. They have seen God put 10 plagues, and it's not that far prior to this. They have seen God put 10 plagues on the Egyptian Pharaoh. They have seen the 10th and final plague and the blood of the Lamb and the instruction on how they would be saved from the spirit of destruction that came over Egypt. They saw themselves being chased after by the Egyptian army. They saw the sea part. They saw themselves walk through on dry ground. They saw God feed them in the desert with manna from the sky. They saw God bring water from a rock. They saw God provide them with quail. They saw God, his lightning and the sound of the mountain. And they saw Moses go up and his face was enlightened. And they know that he had spent time with God. They have seen the golden calf incident. And they have seen what happens when they turn away from God and worship false things. They have seen the miracle working power of God. And what he's saying is, would you just stick with me? Would you stick with me? If you stick with me, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you just like I've provided for you in a desert. You've been in a desert. You would not have survived without me. The only way you're even alive is because I've provided for you. Will you now stick with me? If you do, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you the land. I'm going to make your crops grow. I'm going to bless your socks off. Would you just stick with me, the one who's done all this for you? Let's keep going. Indeed, your threshing will last for you. Meaning when you thresh out the grain, you're going to have so much it's going to last for you until grape gathering. And grape gathering will last until sowing time. You will have enough until the next time you need to bring in your crops. You will thus eat your food to the full and live securely in your land. I shall also grant peace in the land so that you may lie down with no one making you tremble. Meaning I'm going to give you peace from your enemies. I shall also eliminate harmful beasts from the land and no sword will pass through your land. I'm going to protect you. You're going to have peace and prosperity. But you will chase your enemies and they will fall down before you by the sword. He's going to give them the promised land. 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall before you by the sword. So I will turn toward you and make you fruitful and multiply, and I will confirm my covenant with you. Do you remember the very first command of God? I've created you in my image and likeness. Be fruitful and multiply. He's still after doing that with Israel, and he's going to confirm his Abrahamic covenant with them that he is going to give them that land, that he's going to bless them so that they will be a blessing. You will eat the old supply and clear out the old because of the new. Moreover, I will make my dwelling among you. I'm going to live inside of the temple that's among you. And my soul will not reject you. I will also walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt so that you would not be their slaves, meaning Egypt, slaves of Egypt, and I broke the bars of your yoke and make you walk erect. I make you walk strong under my wing. Hallelujah. Okay, listen, they should be able to trust in the blessing of God, should they not, after all that God has done? And now he's telling them he's going to bless them. But now what he's going to do, and it's going to go on for a little bit here, church and everyone listening, he's going to tell them what's going to happen if they disobey him and don't follow him. Now, I want to ask you why. Why is God, and it's going to be severe, the punishment's going to be severe, and it's going to be harsh. And you know what? Sometimes our God comes across harsh, if you want to call him that, that's fine. He comes across strong, and he tells you exactly what's going to happen. And this is why preachers of old sometimes preached fire and brimstone and talked about the glories of heaven and the torments of hell, because there is both. They both exist, and both are part of the character of God. And why are you told about it? So you don't go there. Why is God telling them, after he's telling them he's going to bless them, why is he going to tell them about all the consequences of disobedience? So they don't do it. So they don't do it, because he loves them and he wants them to stay with him. He's going to tell them how horrific it's going to be if they disobey, so that they do obey. Hallelujah. But he's not going to sugarcoat it. And God's not a cookie cutter, sugarcoater kind of God. He, that's just the way God is. If you didn't know him, you're going to get to know him more now. But if you do not obey me and do not carry out all these commandments, if instead you reject my statutes, and think of all the people today living in away from God, doing their own thing, and even people claiming to be believing in God and living in apostate lives. And if your soul abhors my ordinances, if you just disregard my word and you just celebrate homosexuality, you just do whatever you want, you change the word, you are the author of what's right and wrong instead of following God's ways, as to not to carry out all my commandments and so break my covenant, I in turn will do this to you. So this is what's going to happen when you forsake God and you forsake his word and just do what you want. I in turn will do this to you. I will appoint over you a sudden terror, consumption and fever that will waste away the eyes and cause the soul to pine away also. You will sow your seed uselessly, for your enemies will eat it up. I will set my face against you so that you will be struck down before your enemies, and those who hate you will rule over you, and you will flee when no one is pursuing you. Now listen, don't turn this off. Don't turn off this podcast. Don't turn away from the word of God. Take it in so that you will have a proper fear of God and so that you will want to honor, obey, and believe in him. Because sure enough, church, all this stuff has happened to Israel. They disobeyed God. They worshiped false idols. They turned away from his teaching. In fact, for generations, they even lost the word of God until they found it again in the temple. That's how far away they had gotten from falling away from God. And indeed, Assyria came over and took over the 10 northern tribes, and Babylon came in and took over Judah and Benjamin to the south and Jerusalem. And they were deported and they lost their country, just as they're being told right now would happen if they disobeyed their God. Verse 18, if also after these things you do not obey me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. I will also break down your pride of power. I will also make your sky like iron and your earth like bronze. Your strength will be spent uselessly, for your land will not yield its produce, and the trees of the land will not yield their fruit. If then you act with hostility against me, which is happening all over the world today, and are unwilling to obey me, I will increase the plague on you 7 times according to your sins. I will let loose among you the beasts of the field, which will bereave you and your children and destroy your cattle and reduce the number of that your roads will lie deserted. And you know why people don't fear God? It's because they don't know this. They don't know that there's punishment for turning away from the living God. And if by these things you are not turned to me, meaning what's the purpose of all this penalty? God's wanting them to turn back. But if you don't and you act with hostility against me, then I will act with hostility against you, and I will strike you 7 times for your sins. I will also bring upon you a sword which will execute vengeance for the covenant, and when you gather together in your cities, I will send pestilence among you so that you shall be delivered into enemy hands. When I break your staff of bread, 10 women will bake your bread in one oven, and they will bring back your bread in rationed amounts, so that you will eat and not be satisfied. Yet, if in spite of this you do not obey me, meaning they'll allow themselves to be punished like this but still not turn back to God, but act with hostility against me, then I will act with wrathful hostility against you, and I, even I, will punish you seven times for your sins." Now, you know, people believe different things. You know what I believe? I believe that this is coming on the world during the tribulation for turning their back on God. And the true church, those whom God loves, his bride, are going to be spared from this wrath one day. I believe that's clear in the scriptures, because I don't believe that this is the way that God works towards his true church. And that's why I believe we're going to get spared from the tribulation. But those who have disobeyed and don't turn to Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins and believe in him, they're going to receive this. And Israel did receive this in the Old Testament because they turned away from God. Verse 27, "Yet in spite of this, you do not obey me, but act with hostility against me. Then I will act with wrathful hostility against you, and I, even I, will punish you seven times for your sins. Further, you will eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters you will eat. I then will destroy your high places and cut down your incense altars." Why? Because they Israel put up false gods and worshipped false things. "And heap your remains on the remains of your idols, for my soul shall abhor you." And there is record in history, from my understanding, that people did eat each other, even in Israel, that because of the fact that they were boarded in or they were starved in their city before they were taken over. And ultimately what happened is Jerusalem did get torn down in around 600 BC by the Babylonians. "I will lay waste your cities as well and will make your sanctuaries desolate, and I will not smell your soothing aromas." He's not going to be happy even if they sacrifice in that day. It's too late. "I will make the land desolate," which happened, "so that your enemies who settle in it will be appalled over it. You, however, I will scatter among the nations." They were deported, Assyria, Babylon, "and will draw out a sword after you as your land becomes desolate and your cities become waste." Now, this is really interesting, and I could have turned to this in the previous teaching in Leviticus 25, but those of you who heard it, you'll recall this. Listen to what it says then. "Then the land will enjoy its Sabbaths." Remember, they were supposed to let their land rest every seventh year, and they didn't do it, or, you know, they're not going to do it, and as a result, they're going to be punished for it. So listen, what God is saying is when he tears down Jerusalem, deports the people, well, then the land's going to get the Sabbaths he said it was supposed to get. "Then the land will enjoy its Sabbaths all the days of the desolation while you are in your enemy's land," which happened. "Then the land will rest and enjoy its Sabbaths." And they did not honor the Sabbath for at least 490 years. You divide that by seven, you get 70 years, and that's the amount of years they were in Babylon captivity, and the land enjoyed its rest. "All the days of its desolation, it will observe the rest, which it did not observe on your Sabbaths while you were living on it. As for those of you who may be left, I will also bring weakness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies, and the sound of the driven leaf will chase them. And even when no one is pursuing, they will flee as though from the sword they will fall." And isn't it amazing that Israel lost its country in 600 BC, and it did not return until 1948? So that's 2,500 years that they didn't have a country. But I want you to listen to this, because it's going to get to that. "Then they will therefore stumble over each other as if running from the sword, although no one is pursuing, and you will have no strength to stand up before your enemies, but you will perish among the nations, and your enemies' land will consume you, so that those of you who may be left will rot away because of their iniquity." They did leave the poor people, some poor people in the land when they overtook Jerusalem, in the land of their enemies, "and also because of the iniquities of their forefathers, they will rot away with them." Now listen to this, because with God, there's always hope, because God's not done with Israel. God's not done with Israel today. And in fact, even during the tribulation, the wrath that he's going to bring on the land, it's going to be an opportunity for Israel to return back to him then, to return to Jesus. if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their forefathers in their unfaithfulness which they committed against me, and also in their acting with hostility against me, I also, God says, was acting with hostility against them to bring them into the land of their enemies, or if their uncircumcised heart becomes humbled, so that they then make amends for their iniquity. Now listen to this. Then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and I will remember also my covenant with Isaac and my covenant with Abraham as well, and I will remember the land. Because God gave them that land, and he is still going to bless them, and they are still going to have an opportunity. And one day God's going to set up his millennial kingdom out of Jerusalem on earth, a 1,000-year reign. So, you know, God's still got a plan for Israel and for this world. For the land will be abandoned by them and will make up for its Sabbaths while it was made desolate without them. They, meanwhile, will be making amends for their iniquity because they rejected my ordinances and their soul abhorred my statutes. Yet, listen to this, in spite of this, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not reject them, nor will I so abhor them so as to destroy them, breaking my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. God still is remembering his covenant, and now he has actually fulfilled his covenant in the sense that the church has fallen into the blessing of Abraham. But even so, God has not forgotten his covenant that he's going to give Israel that land, and they did get it back, and they're at war, and they're not at peace. But one day, God is going to rule and reign from that land. But I will remember for them the covenant with their ancestors, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the nations, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. So even though they're going to forsake him, God one day is still going to restore the land and restore his covenant with them. And I believe that's going to happen at the end of the tribulation when Jesus comes back to rule and reign for 1,000 years on earth. These are the statutes and ordinances and laws which the Lord established between himself and the sons of Israel through Moses at Mount Sinai. Wow. So there you have it. God still is going to honor his covenant, but there is going to be punishment for disobedience, and there's blessing for following the ways of the Lord. And now, church, we've received the blessing of being part of the family of God through faith in Jesus Christ. But we should not lose sight in that blessing that God still wants us to honor him, that God does bring punishment on those who disobey and those who dishonor and turn away from him, like when Israel turned away from him. And we need to stick with the Lord. We need to stay in faith in him. And we should have a proper awe, reverence, and fear of God. And we should live to love and obey and serve him. And he loves his church. The church is a new species. It's a new breed. It's a new family of God. And God loved us enough to send his son to die for us, to welcome us into his family. And now God's saying, you know what? I want to bless you. Will you follow me? Will you love me? Will you obey me? Don't turn away. Love me because I love you and I've got good plans for you. Stick with me. God bless you all.